清楚。
外昆塔之音服务。瓦昆塔之音服务源于聆听，各位尊敬的奉献者，大家早上好。今天是2020年5月10日，星期日。祝大家母亲节快乐。今天呢，是又非常荣幸的邀请到了我们圣爱者大叔 Krishna Baladeva Prabhu， 我们继续讲述今天的奉献圣典不加瓦坦的早课，敬请聆听。Hare Krishna。
Hare Krishna, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So we continue reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter 8, Questions by King Parikshit. Today you read from text 8 and 9.
今天继续圣殿阅读圣殿博迦瓦坛第二篇第八章 Parikshit 王的提问。我们今天阅读的时节呢是第八节和第九节。
Asit,
asit,
yat udarat,
yat udara,
admam,
admam,
asit yat udarat padmam,
asit yat udara padmam,
loka,
loka,
samsthana,
samsthana
Lakshanam,
Lakshanam,
Loka Samsthana Lakshanam,
Loka Samsthana Lakshanam,
Yavan,
Yavam,
Ayam,
Ayam,
Vai,
Vai,
Purushaha,
Purushaha,
Yavam Mayam Vai Purusha.
Yavam Av, Yavam Ayam Vai Purusha.
Iyata.
Iyata.
Avayavai.
Avayavai.
Pritat.
Pritat.
Yata Avayavai Pritat.
Yata vayava pritak.
Avam.
Tavam.
Asau.
Asau.
Iti prukta.
Iti prukta.
Tavam asau iti prukta.
Tavam asau iti prukta.
Samsta.
Samsta.
Avayavavan,
Avayavavan,
Iva,
Iva,
Samstavayavavan, Iva,
Samstavayavavan, Iva,
Asidyadudarat Padmam,
Asidyadudarat Padmam,
Lokasamsthanalakshanam
Loka samsthana lakshanam.
Yavan mayam vai purusha.
Yavan avayam vai purusha.
Yaitava vavai pritak.
Yiyatava yavai pritak.
Avannasaviti proktam.
Avannasaviti proktam.
Samstavayavavaniva.
Samstavayavavaniva.
Asit.
Asit. 正如意的如意的成长。
Yad udarat.
Yad udarat. 从某人的腹中。
Padmam.
Padman. 莲花。
Loka.
Loka, 世界。
Samsthana,
Samsthana, 处境。
Lakshanam,
Lakshanam, 拥有。
Yavan.
Yavan, 像之前。
Ayam.
Ayam, 这。
Vai.
Vai, 当然的。
Purusha.
Purusha, 至尊人格守神。
Iyata.
Iyata, 测量。
Avayavai.
Avayavai, 被赋予躯体。
Pritak.
Pritak, 不同。
Avan.
Avan, 所以。
Asau.
Asau, 那。
Iti prokta.
Iti prokta, 据所以被说成。
Samsta.
Samsta, 处境。
Avayavavan.
Avayavan, 处于躯体中。
Iva.
Iva, 像。
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada.
译文和要旨由薛拉帕帕提供。译文：如果腹部长出莲花镜的至尊人格守神身体极为庞大，四肢长度与躯体高度成比例，那么至尊主的身体与普通生物的躯体有什么特别的不同之处吗？要旨：我们应该注意到，帕尔格西特王为了科学的了解有关至尊主超人的身体，多么聪明地向灵性导师提出了问题。在这节诗之前，已经与很多的地方描述过，至尊主作为元婴之阳威士奴时，展现了一个庞大的躯体，从他的毛孔中无数的宇宙产生了出来。运旦之阳威士奴的身体被描述为是有莲花茎从中长出，而宇宙里所有的星球都在那根莲花茎中。至尊主无疑展现了一个庞大的身体。而众生则根据需要得到或大或小的身体，比如大象按照它的需要得到了一个庞大的身体，蚂蚁也根据自己的需要得到了一个小小的躯体。同样的道理，为了容纳所有的宇宙及每一个宇宙中的所有的星球，至尊人格守神展现了一个庞大的身体，这符合按照需要展现或接受某种类型之身体的原则。个体生物与至尊主的区别不光是由身体的大小决定，因此答案取决于至尊主的身体的特殊的意义，而这才是他的身体与普通生物体的躯体的不同之处。译文：如果腹部长出莲花镜的至尊人格守神身体极为庞大，四肢长度与躯体高度成比例，那么至尊主的身体与普通生物的躯体有什么特别不同之处吗？阿叔，阿叔，萨提玛拉姐，萨提玛拉姐，萨提玛拉姐，
二宝，二宝，啊，我们听不到阿叔声音的，嗯，
哦。Ashu, can you hear us?
What? How is it? We'll try again. Okay. Hare Krishna.
Hare
Krishna.
Oh, Ashu, you're here. Yes. Can you hear us?
Okay. I read the second, the nine.Aja Sri Jati Bhutat Bhutatmaya Danugrahat Tadrishe Yenatad Rupam Nabi Padma Samud Bhava. So you read the translation purport and then you read the two verses together.
Okay. 那我们现在接着读第九十节译文。Brahma 不是自然物质的源头产生，而是诞生在从至尊主的肚脐长出的一朵莲花上。它是所有的那些有物质躯体的生物体的创造者。当然，靠着至尊主的恩典， Brahma 能够看到至尊主的形象。要旨： 是物质世界中的第一个生物体 Brahma 被称为是在没有物质源头的情况下诞生的人，因为他不是从经历物质诞生的母亲子宫中生出来的，他直接诞生在至尊主的身体扩展莲花上。因此要明白至尊主的身体与 Brahma 的身体在质上是否一样，不是一件容易的事。但尽管如此，我们必须对事实有清楚的了解。有一件事情是肯定的， Brahma 完全依靠至尊主的仁慈，因为正是至尊主的仁慈使他能够在诞生后创造生物体并看见至尊主的形象。令人困惑的是， Brahma 看到的至尊主的形象与 Brahma 的形象在质上是否一样。帕克希特王想从 Sukadeva Goswami 那里得到清楚的答案。译文：如果腹部长出莲花镜的至尊人格首神身体极为庞大，四肢长度与躯体高度成比例，那么至尊主的身体与普通生物的躯体有什么特别的不同之处吗？ Brahma 不是自然Brahma 不是自物质的源头诞生，而是诞生在至尊主的肚脐长出的一朵莲花上，它是所有那些有物质躯体的生物体的创造者。当然靠着至尊主的恩典， Brahma 能够看到至尊主的形象。
Om Jnana Timiram Dasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Lakshmilitam Jnana Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashata Deshatarine Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Panchakaupatarubhya Cha Kripa Sindhubhya Eva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we continue hearing the questions asked by Parikshit Maharaj to his guru, Sukadeva Goswami.
我们这里继续在聆听的是帕克希特王向他的 guru, Srila Sukadeva Goswami 所询问的问题。
Certainly, Parikshit Maharaj, has a good understanding of spiritual life.
毫无疑问，帕克希特王对于灵性的生活是有很好的理解的。
So he knows, certainly knows the answers of the questions he's asking.
所以对于他所询问的问题的答案呢，他是了然于心的。
But he wants to hear from his spiritual master speaking about the glories of the Lord.
但是呢，他也希望能够听到他的灵性导师能够讲述关于主的荣耀的话题。
And in this way,benefit all these great sages, great personalities that they were sitting there next to Parikshit Maharaj and Sukadeva Goswami by the banks of the Jamuna.
那么这样呢，就能使得坐在亚穆纳河岸边的，在聆听他们讲述的这些圣人们也都能够获益。
And certainly, because this was going to be recorded,It was also for the benefit of all of us.
而且所有的这些讲话呢都会被记录下来，所以说呢对于我们后人来说呢也都是会受益的。
So here the question is about the difference between the form of the Lord, the body of the Lord, and the body of the common living entities.
今天所听到的这个问题呢，就是主他的躯体与普通的生物体的躯体之间的区别是什么？
Because sometimes is very baffling, even for spiritualists, because when the Lord comes in a human-like form, people tend to think that the Lord is like one of them.
因为呢，即使对于灵性主义者，对于灵性灵修的人，有的时候这个问题也是非常的让人觉得困惑的。因为当主他以人类的形象显现的时候呢，大家就总会觉得主他不过是我们其中中的一位而已。
And then, sometimes the Lord manifests extraordinary forms, that are not, they don't look really, so much like human beings.
那有的时候呢，主他会显现成一个很超凡的形象，而且他这个形象呢，也就跟人看着不一样了。
Like we just heard the story of Lord Nrisimhadeva recently, it was a form half man, half lion.
比如说呢，我们最近呢就刚刚听到了主尼辛赫德夫的故事。那么主尼辛赫德夫呢，他就是以一个半人半狮的形象显现的。
Nobody ever seen a form like that.
从来就没有人见到过这样的形象。
Or as Parikshit Maharaj is kind of indicating here, about the form of the Lord in the beginning of the creation as Mahavishnu.
而且呢，帕尔格西特王在这里面所，他所就是暗示的一个形象，就是在创造之初的时候，主他是以 Mahavishnu 的形象显现的。
It's an incredible gigantic form.
那这个 Mahavishnu 的形象呢，是一个非常的令人不能相信的巨大的身形的形象。
Because from the pores of his skin, universes are coming.
因为从他的皮肤的这个毛孔里面呢，就显现了所有的这些宇宙。
That's it's baffling. How can we imagine that a body of a person so big that universes with uncountable planets inside are coming from the pores of his skin?
所以呢，这是让人没有办法理解的。就如何能有如此巨大的一个身形，而使得所有的这些宇宙、这些星宿都从他的皮肤的毛孔里面钻出来了呢？
So it's amazing.
所以呢，这很令人惊叹。
And he has four arms instead of two arms like a normal human being.
而且呢，他有四个臂膀，不像是一个普通人一样只有两只胳膊。
So when we hear or see paintings of these forms, we are amazed.
所以说呢，当我们听到或者看到这样的形象的图画画面的时候呢，我们就觉得很惊讶。
And this form, this gigantic, incredible gigantic form, is the same person as Krishna playing as a human-like form in Vrindavan with the coward boys and the coward girls.
而这个 Krishna 的巨大的身形呢，和在 Vrindavan 以人类的这个形象和所有的牧牛姑娘和牧牛童们一起玩耍的小 Krishna 的形象是来自于一个人的。
So Srila Prabhupada mentions about the forms of the Lord as manifest according to necessity.
所以 Krishna 在所以 Srila Prabhupada 在要旨里面就提到了，他说这个 Krishna 他是根据需要而展现他的身形的。
Of course, is necessity. We also assume different types of bodies according to necessity, like an individual soul can take a form of an elephant or can take a form of a little ant.
但是呢，这个个体灵魂呢，也是可以根据需求而展现为不同的身形。比如说，这个体灵魂它可以呢住在一个大象的身形里面，也可以住在一个小蚂蚁的身形里面。
But it's not the same type of necessity.
但是呢，这种需求和主按照他的那个需求的这种需求是不是一回事？
If individual soul takes a body.A gigantic body like an elephant, it's because it's a necessity created by its material activities in the previous life.
那如果要是一个个体灵魂它出现在 一头巨大的大象的身形里面的原因呢是由于它在之前的生世的这个业报的这个活动的需求导致了它现在必须得有这个躯体。
So there is a necessity for the individual soul to experience different forms of life where they can satisfy different types of necessities.
那么这个需求呢，就在于这个个体灵魂它需要在不同的身体的形式中，以满足它的不同的不同的需求。
Yes, an elephant, why a body of an elephant? Because the soul needs to experience.Having a body where it can eat so much food more than we can imagine as a human being.
它为什么会在大象的这个躯体里面呢？因为它在这个大象的躯体里面，它就需要去满足它得吞下大量的这个食物的这个需求。那因为就是在一般的这个形体里面，比如说在这个身体人类的这个身体的需求里面，它是没有办法消化掉这么多的食物的。
As a human being, you are limited how much we can take.
因为呢，在人类的这个身形里面呢，你是局限的、限制的，没有办法吃那么多东西。
Even if the food is very palatable, very nice, there is a limit how much we can put in our stomach.
即便是这个食物是非常的美味的。但是呢，我们也是在限制中的，我没有办法把这个太多的食物放在我们的胃里。
So if you can eat 1 kilo or 2 kilos of food, it's already a big amount.
如果人他一顿能够吃掉1公斤或者2公斤的食物，已经是很大量的食物了。
But an elephant can eat 100 kilos.
但是呢，作为一头大象，它可以吞掉100公斤的食物。
So in that form, the soul has opportunity to enjoy having a gigantic body that dominates in amidst other forms of life, and also can eat a substantial amount of food.
所以说呢，当这个灵魂在大象的这个巨大的身形里面的时候呢，它一方面呢，由于它身形巨大，所以说它也可以去。控制其他的生物体，而与此同时呢，它还可以享用巨大量的食物。
So and if you take a living entity takes the form of a bird, as can satisfy the necessity of flying in the sky.
然后呢，如果一个生物体它得到了一个鸟儿的身体呢，那也就意味着它可以去满足它要在天上飞的这个需求。
Human beings cannot do that.
但人呢是飞不起来的。
So, but in a form of a bird, we can experience that. What means to fly by your own will to fly in the sky just by flapping the wings?
所以说呢，如果是鸟的话呢，它就能够满足我们想要在天上飞的这种愿望，就只要自己扑扇着翅膀就能够飞起来了。
If an individual soul experienced the necessity to have many, very, very long hours or many days of sleep where it's totally oblivious of any activity and anything external, the material energy provides him with the body of a bear, for instance.
那就是如果要是这个生物体它有这种愿望是想一下子就睡好长好长时间，然后呢根本就不用管外在的其他的那些活动那些事物的话，那么这个物质自然就会给他一具熊的躯体。
As a bear, you can sometimes they can sleep for 3 or 4 months on a stretch in a stretch.
那有的时候呢，这个熊它可以一连睡上好几个月的时间。
Three to 4 months.
可以睡上三到四个月的时间，三到四个月的时间。
Yes, yes. One month is not enough. Three or four
一个月还不够。一个月的时间不够长，得睡三到四个月的时间。
There are people who like to sleep. There are people who are very attached to sleep, and they want to sleep as much as they can.
但是有些人呢是非常依附于睡眠的，他们是想睡很长很长的时间。
But as human in the human body, that necessity cannot really be fulfilled because human body are limited how much rest you can take.
但是如果是在人类的这个身形里面呢，是没有办法真正的满足想睡多久就睡多久的这个愿望的，因为人类的这个躯体它对于睡眠是有限制的。
If the living entity has the necessity, feels the need of enjoying to eat any kind of food, and no matter what food, eat anything and everything, then nature, material nature, the Lord through material nature, give him a body of a hog or pig.
对，如果要是这个人呢，他有一个愿望，就是想吃什么就吃什么，完全没有限制的，就是随便什么都能吃进去的话，那么这个主呢，他就会根据物质自然给他一个猪，或者是就是一头猪的这个躯体。
Yeah, a pig or hog can eat anything and everything, and he has no stomach problems.
比如说猪啊野猪啊他们就可以想吃什么就吃什么也不会有胃痛的问题。
And everything is palatable, even stool is delicious.
而且对于他们来说呢都是美味佳肴即便是屎粪便也是非常的甜美的食物。
But as human beings, you cannot do that.
但是作为人来讲呢就没有办法把这些东西吃进去了。
Certainly, there are some human beings who can eat very disgusting food, but still, it's limited how much they can eat and what kind of food they can eat. Certain things, certainly, they cannot eat.
那有些人呢，他吃的东西确实也非常的恶心。但是，即便是这样的情况下呢，他的这个躯体也会让他局限，他不可能把什么东西都往嘴里塞。
So the needs of the living entities are created by material nature because of their previous activities, previous desires.
所以说呢，就是由于这个灵魂它之前的活动以及它之前的这个愿望，使得这个物质自然会根据它的这个情况来满足它的需求。
So they develop particular necessity.Imposed by material nature.
所以呢，他们就会在这个物质自然的促使之下，就会就产生出相应的这种需求。
But the Lord is the Lord assumes many forms according to necessity also, but the Lord's necessity is completely different.
但是主呢他展现出各种各样不同的这个身形呢也是根据需求来的但是他的这个需求是完全不一样的。
His necessity means, what kind of pastime he wants to perform. That's his needs, to perform this type of pastime or that type of pastime.
那他的这个需求呢是在于他需要上演怎样的逍遥时光。就是他需要配合他上演各种各样的逍遥时光，从而使他展现了这个身形。
He wants to play with the gopas and the gopis and other devotees in Vrindavan. He takes on a human form, a human-like form, and he plays with them.
比如说呢，他想要和 gopi 们、跟 gopa 们、牧牛童、牧牛女们一起玩耍。或者是跟其他的一些奉献者一起玩耍，所以呢，他就会在文达文展现出一个人的形象，然后这样可以跟他们一起玩。
He satisfies his necessities to enjoy with them, and also to satisfy his associate's spiritual necessities.
所以说呢，这样他就能够这个满足他自己的这个需求。同时呢，他也能够满足 其他的和他一起玩耍的人的这个灵性上的需求。
When the Lord feels the necessity to perform the His pastime of creating the material universes, He assumes the form of Mahavishnu, that gigantic form, and lays down and the pores of His skin manifests all the universes.
但是当主他需要满足他在物质世界进行创造的这个需求的时候呢，他就展现出了 Mahavishnu 的巨大的身形。从而使得这些宇宙能够从他的身体里面萌发出来。
Lord Brahma appeared from the lotus flower that sprout out of the abdomen of Lord Garbhodakshaya Vishnu.
那从 Garbhodakshaya Vishnu 的肚脐里面呢，生出了一只莲花，而主 Brahma 就是从这只莲花上生出来的。
It's also because of karma.
那这个主 Brahma 他之所以从莲花中生出来，这也是由于他的业报所致。
He also had the necessity to create things extraordinary. So the Lord gives him opportunity to take birth in a form who can participate in the secondary creation of the universes.
因为他需要从事的活动呢，是要去进行非常卓越的、了不起的，二次创造的这个活动。所以说呢，主呢才能够给他提供一个必要的条件，从而让他能够去进行这二次创造的活动。
Certainly is a very pious type of necessity is born of the mode of goodness, but still, Lord Brahma, it takes on a material form, the form that appears on the navel.On a lotus flower that sprouts from the label of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is a material form.
那么显然呢，这是一个非常虔诚的一种需求，而且呢是在善良形态的影响下，使它产生的这种需求。但是呢，即便是这样的一种需求，也是得使这个主 Brahma 他必须要以这个物质的。就是它是一个物质的一个形象的展现，它是在这个 Garbhodakshaya Vishnu 的莲花镜上生出来的，但是呢，这是一个物质的形象，并不是灵性的。
Even though his body is appearing on the top of that lotus flower that sprouts from the abdomen of the Lord, the body of Lord Brahma is a material body.
但即便是主 Brahma 他是从主 Garbhodakshaya Vishnu 的肚脐的莲花中生出来的，是在莲花的这个镜上展现的，但是呢主 Brahma 他的这个躯体，他也是一个物质的躯体。
But certainly is a body with the best type of material body we can have in a material world.
但是呢主 Brahma 他这个躯体呢，是我们在物质世界能够拥有的最棒的一具物质躯体了。
Because with that body, Lord Brahma, he can, the living entity as Lord Brahma, can even participate in the creation of the material world of the universes.
因为呢，主 Brahma 就这个生物体主 Brahma， 他在这一具物质躯体中，他甚至于可以从事进行二重创造的这个活动。
He is the most powerful entity in each universe.
他是在每一个宇宙中最强而有力的生物体。
So it's out of a material necessity that takes on that form of Brahma.
那所以说呢，这个是由于物质的需求，从而使主 Brahma 他得到了这具躯体。
So because it's a very pious necessity is born from very pious activities, Lord Brahma is certainly a very elevated entity in all creation.
而且呢，是由于非常虔诚的活动而导致了他的这个非常虔诚的这个需求，使得主 Brahma 他是所有的生物体中最崇高，处于最崇高位置的。物质躯体。 就是他是处于他是处于最崇高位置的这位生物体。
He is given the opportunity to participate in the secondary creation, so he is given the opportunity to be the first one to take birth in a material world, in a particular material creation.
因为呢，他呢是被赋予了要进行二重创造活动的这个人物，所以说呢，他就得以作为第一个生物体被生了出来。
So every time the Lord manifests creation again after a period of annihilation, when there is the time to create again, Lord Brahma, you know, the individual living entity with great pious activities, take birth as Lord Brahma, is the first created being.
所以呢，在每次的这个毁灭之后，然后要进行再次的创造的时候呢。这个作为主 Brahma 的这位非常虔诚的生物体呢，他就作为第一个生物体被生了出来，他就是以作为第一个生物体而降生。
So it's an incredible birth.
所以呢，主 Brahma 的降生呢是一个不可思议的降生。
He's not even born from a conception between a male and a female living entities.
他并不是由于两个生物体之间的结合而生出来的生物。
It takes birth on the top of a lotus flower that sprouts from the navel of Gaboda Kshay Vishnu.
它是由 Gaboda Kshay Vishnu 的肚脐中长出的莲花茎上生出的莲花上面生出来的这个生物体。
So we would think then his body should be spiritual because he's connected with the spiritual body of the Lord.
所以我们大家可能就会觉得主 Brahma 他的这个躯体呢也是灵性的，因为他是和至尊主的躯体相连接在一起而显现的。
But no, it's material body like the whatever the Lord is creating, the universes that is manifesting from the pores of his skin, they are all material universes.
不是这样的。它依然是物质的，那么就好像是从这个主 Mahavishnu 他的这个皮肤的毛孔里面所钻出的所有这些宇宙一样，那么这些宇宙呢也都是物质的宇宙。
They are material universes, because they are meant to accommodate the living entities that are resting in the body of Lord Mahavishnu, so they're going to have.To take birth in particular forms according to their previous karma before annihilation. So they have to satisfy their needs. So they're going to take different forms in the different universes and different planets that are emanating from the form of the Lord.
那么这些宇宙呢都是物质的。因为呢在这个上次的这个毁灭之前呢所有的这些生物体们他们都被收进了 Mahavishnu 的这个体内，然后在这里面等待着下一次的投生。而他们下一次的投生呢，是要根据他们在上一次的这个活动和他们的这个愿望的这个祈求，然后呢，在下一生中呢，再投入到一个具体的一个躯体里面去满足他们之前的这些活动的这个需求。所以说呢，从主 Vishnu 的这个躯体里面生出来的这些宇宙呢，就需要去配合这些生物体在这些各个的宇宙中里面去满足他们继续需要去满足的这些活动和欲望。
For the Lord, there is no difference. It's all the same energy. It's only for us, the way we use it, that spiritual energy takes on a form of material energy. But for the Lord, it's just his energies.
但是对于主来说其实是没有区别的，都是他的能量。但是对于我们来说呢，我们是他说 ，we are taking Lord's
we perceive the energy of the Lord in different way because we misuse it because the
okay,
way we use that it takes in a different aspect.
Okay. 那么对，但是对于我们来说呢，就是由于我们错用了这个物质的能量，然后呢，我们就 在感知这个主的这个能量的时候呢，是通过主的能量的不同的方面去感知到的。所以说呢，主他的能量是物质能量，它是物质能量，也是灵，都是灵性能量，但是我们感知到的是物质的感觉。
So, because of the necessity of the individual entities in this material world, that original spiritual energy of the Lord takes on the shape of material energy.
那所以说呢，就是由于我们的这个就是这个那个体灵魂，它在这个物质世界，它所需要的这个需求，从而使得呢这个主的灵性能量它展现成了一个物质能量的状态。
Lord Brahma, if he uses this, like in our case, in Lord Brahma in our universe, is a pure devotee of the Lord, is our first acharya in our sampradaya, so is a pure devotee.So is using his body in the service of the Lord.
那么比如说在我们的这个宇宙中的这位 Brahma, 那他呢其实是我们的 Sampradaya 的头人，那么他呢是一位纯粹的奉献者，那么他呢就运用主的这个灵性的能量来从事他要从事的这些活动。
SoHe is because of his engagement in devotional service, his body is spiritualized.
那所以说呢，主 Brahma 他因为在用他的这个躯体在进行灵奉爱服务，所以说呢，使得他的物质躯体就变得灵性化了。
Like the bodies of pure devotees, any pure devotee, because he's always engaged in the Lord's service, it takes on a spiritual characteristic, spiritual nature.
比如说主的纯粹的奉献者，因为他呢始终都在为主从事纯粹的奉献服务，使得呢他的这个物质的这个躯体就展现出了灵性的特征。
So even thoughBecause they are within the material nature, even though they go through changes, we see them changing from young to grow, old age and all this, and even die. But actually, those bodies are spiritualized, the same as spiritual bodies.
但是呢，虽然说我们会在这个躯体中，就这个纯粹奉献者的这个躯体中，也能够看到他这个躯体的各种各样的变化。从年轻变年老，然后最后呢可能会生病，然后会死去，但是呢他的这个躯体呢也是灵性化的躯体。
Because it's used in Krishna service.
因为呢他这个躯体是用在对 Krishna 的服务中的，所以是灵性化的。
And the example given in the scriptures is like the iron rod.Iron rod is a metal, but iron rod in contact with fire, it becomes like fire. It can burn as light and it operates exactly like fire.
比如说我们在经典中给我们举的一个例子就是铁棒的例子。这铁棒呢，它是一块金属。可是呢，如果把这个铁棒放到火里面，那么这个铁棒它也会产生跟火一样的这种特征。
So the same, the material nature, when it's engaged in Krishna service, it becomes like spiritual.
所以同样的，就是当这个物质的，就是当这个物质的事物，当这个物质的躯体它被用作对Krishna 的灵性的服务的时候呢，它也会变得灵性化。
So what makes the difference between material and spiritual is how we use it. If we usethat energy for our own selfish interest to satisfy our material necessity, it takes on the form of material energy. If you use that same energy in the Krishna service of Krishna, it's spiritual energy.
所以说呢，就是对于这个物质能量和灵性能量来说，如果我们要是它们其实是一种能量，但如果我们要是把这个能量用作对我们自己的感官的享乐，或者为我们自己的一些需求而做事情的话呢，那么这个能量它展现出来就是物质能量。 但如果我们要是把它用作对 Krishna 的奉爱服务的话呢，那它就是灵性的能量。
So because Lord Brahma is doing doing his service to please the Lord, is totally engaged in service of the Lord. So he's using everything in service of the Lord. So his form is spiritualized. And after leaving, when he finishes his term of life in that body, he will go back to Krishna.
所以呢，因为主 Brahma 他做的一切事情呢，都是为了要让主开心而从事的奉爱服务，所以呢，他就是他所做的一切事情呢，都是灵性化的。那么在这样的一种状态下呢，就使得他的这个躯体也就变得灵性化了。那么当他结束了在 Brahma 的这个物质躯体的这一生之后呢，他就能够回到 Krishna 的身边去了。
So the forms we assume in the material world are there to satisfy our material necessities.
所以说呢，我们在这个物质世界里所显现出来的这具物质躯体都是为了要满足我们的物质需求的。
If our necessities become spiritual, then eventually we are going to accept a spiritual body.
如果我们的这个需求，如果我们的这个需求变成了灵性化的话，那么最终呢，我们就能够接受一具灵性的躯体。
And the spiritual body, the spiritual form is our original form because originally we are Krishna conscious. So originally we have a spiritual form. But because we have developed other necessities separated from Krishna, we have been accepting all sorts of material forms within the 8,400,000 species of life.
那我们其实最原初的这个躯体呢是灵性的躯体，因为我们本来就是和 Krishna 相连接在一起的，所以呢我们本来是应该有一个灵性的这个躯体。但是呢由于我们的这个兴趣啊，我们就是所想的这个事情呢，把和 Krishna 的这个意愿以及和要为取悦 Krishna 这件事情相分离了，从而呢使得我们就接受了这840万种不同的生命形式。从而来满足我们那些各种各样的愿望。
So in the human form, this human form we have, it's an opportunity to understand what is the real necessity that we have to develop. What kind of necessity you really need to develop to escape this cycle of birth and death in the material world.
所以呢，我们所具有的这个人类的身形呢，是让我们有这个机会理解我们真正的需求到底是什么，然后从而有了这样具体的理解之后呢，我们才有机会能够摆脱这生死轮回的不断的重新得到物质躯体的这个轮转之中。
Because the human form of life is meant to satisfy.A necessity to understand our real identity, what the real purpose of our existence.
那么我们的这个人类的这个躯体呢，它是为了让我们能够理解我们真正的生活的目的到底是什么，以及我们真正所应该有的这个身份到底是什么。
If we use this human form, which is meant.To satisfy our higher necessity to understand the purpose of our life. If it is used to develop other types of necessity, then we're going to have to take birth in all different species of life in order to satisfy those necessities.
那么如果我们要是把我们的这具人类的这具躯体，那么这具人类的躯体呢，它本来就是为了要去了解我们本真的身份到底是什么，我们本真的最高的这个存在的目的到底是什么。但是如果我们要是错用了它，把它去用在满足其他的各种各样的需求的状态下的话，那也就意味着我们就必须要为了满足这些各种各样的需求，在不同的这个生命形式中不断的去投生。
So the necessityThe human necessities begin from dharma.
但是人类的这个需求呢，它是从 Dharma 开始的。
Dharma means living according to a set of rules, a set of principles with moral principles to abide from, act according to the teachings of the scriptures, understanding what is right, what is wrong. That is Dharma.
那么 Dharma 的意思呢，就是 Dharma 的意思呢，也就是在这个经典的训令之下，就是在遵守经典的训令的这种情况下去从事，然后再根据规范原则去从事活动，然后去了解什么是对的，什么是不对的。
This is what means a religious person.
那这也就意味着他是一个有宗教心的人。
A person who follows bona fide religious principles is acting like a human being.
那一个去追随正宗的宗教原则而行动的人，他被理解为是人类。
We're talking about bona fide religions.
我们之前呢也谈到关于正宗的宗教这个话题。
So by acting as a human being according to religious principles, according to principles laid down in the scriptures, then a person naturally satisfies his economical necessities. He has a good way of living in this world.
如果要是一个人他遵守在经典中所列出的这个训令，以这样的方式去生活的话，那么他就自然的会满足他的经济发展的需求，他在这个世界就能过得很好。
So his material needs, his material needs are satisfied. You know, he finds food, he finds shelter, he finds everything he needs, everything according to.Those religious principles.
所以呢，就是根据一切的这些宗教的这个原则呢，使得他的物质的生活条件得到了保证，就是 artha 得到了保证，他的衣食住行都是没有问题的。
And then naturally, his senses are satisfied. Karma, you know, is satisfied. His senses are satisfied because he's getting everything he needs.
那很自然，他的 karma 也就是他的感官也都得到了满足，因为呢，他得到了他所需要的一切。
So yes, a good enjoys good sense gratification according to religious principles.
所以呢，他就可以根据宗教的原则来很好的进行感官享乐的活动。
So experience a certain level of happiness.
所以呢，他也能够体验到一定程度的幸福感。
But certainly this is not the goal of life.
但是毫无疑问，这并不是生命的目标。
This is just means how to live like a human being, properly how like a human being.
这只是意味着如何恰当的作为人在生活。
But a soul in a human form is not a human being. The soul within the human form is not a human being.
但是并不意味着这个在人类的躯体中的一个灵魂，它就属于人了，并不是这样的。
This is not a human form. Is not our original form.
因为我们人类的这个身形呢，它并不是我们最原初的身形。
But in human form, after following all these principles of religion, having a good life in goodness and having enjoyment, a soul has to develop.The need to understand the real purpose of his existence.
因为呢，就是当这个灵魂它在这个人类的躯体中，经过遵守这个原则，然后有很好的经济发展的这种生活，而且呢，它也能够进行感官享乐。但是这一系列的都是为了要让它能够真正的理解，就是这个生命它最终的这个目的到底是什么。
You understand what is the purpose, why we exist. We exist. Our existence is meant to be connected with the existence of the Lord.
然后去了解生命的目标，去了解为什么要存在。那这个存在的目的呢，是为了要能够和主的存在重新再连接在一起。
We have a connection. We all by constitution, nature, we have a connection with the Supreme Lord because we are parts and parcels of Him.
那么从原定的这个身份的角度上来讲呢，我们和主之间都是相互连接的，都是不可分割的，因为我们本来就是主身上的不可分割的一部分。
Means our higher necessity, our higher necessity is to be connected with the Supreme Lord in a loving relationship.
那也就意味着我们更高的这个需求是在爱的关系中和主相连接在一起。
Means to live a blissful spiritual life in a loving connection with the Supreme Lord. This is our higher necessity.
也就是说呢，在爱的连接之中和就是在与主的爱的连接中，过着非常极乐幸福的生活，这是我们最高的需求。
So our life should be molded in such a way that we cultivate that necessity because this is the topmost necessity an individual soul should manifest, should develop.
所以说呢，我们在安排我们的生活的这种状态下的时候呢，就需要把它安排成可以帮助我们去培养出我们最终的这个需求达到的这个目的，因为这是我们最高的需求。
That's why you should always be acting, understanding that we are connected with Krishna, we are parts and parcels of Him, should be always engaging in His service because this satisfies our higher necessity of developing a loving relationship with Him.
所以呢，我们就总是需要有这样的一个理解，就是我们是和 Krishna 相连接在一起的。然后呢，我们是要为他从事奉爱服务的。我们和他呢是有一个永恒的关系的。因为在这样的这个理解下呢。我们就能够培养出我们最高的这个需求，因为我们的这个最高的需求呢，就是为了要和 Krishna 在一起。
So if you cultivate this process to satisfy our higher necessity, and if you make it perfect, our practice, then in the next life.We will receive a spiritual body to be in direct association with the Lord.
所以说呢，我们要是在这个就是服务的这个程序中去培养我们最终能够得到这个结果的这种状态的话，那么我们就是这种这个需求的这种状态下，那我们在下一世呢就有可能。能够得到我们的这个灵性的躯体，从而能够满足我们最高的需求。
And this is the perfection of life. This is the goal of life.
而这个呢，是生命的完美境界，这是我们生命的最终目标。
So this is the real necessity that we should develop.
而这个呢，是我们应该培养出来的真正的需求。
Developing love for Krishna.
就是我们要培养出对 Krishna 的爱。
Because this is what every individual soul needs.
因为呢，这是每一个个体灵魂都需要的。
So in human form, and because of having received the association of the mercy of devotees, now we understand what is our greatest necessity and how to satisfy that necessity.
那么在我们人类的身形之中呢，由于我们得到了所见到的奉献者的仁慈，使得我们知道了什么是我们最高的需求，而且呢，也让我们现在开始去培养，去得到这个最高的需求。
So we should not misuse this wonderful opportunity that we have now. And start becoming distracted be distracted by other necessities.
所以说呢，我们就不应该这个错过我们去培养出这个最高需求的这个机会，然后呢，也就不要让自己再把这个精力分神到去照顾其他的那些各种各样的需求了。
If you get sidetracked to satisfy material needs, you know, needs of becoming wealthy, healthy, and beautiful, and all that, then we forget our main necessity, and we lose the opportunity to be transferred to the kingdom of God in the next life. You may have to probably stay here for some time in the material world, taking again material bodies.
比如说，如果我们要是得到了这个物质的财富啊，或者是美丽啊，或者是等等各种各样的这些物质的需求的话，它也可能就会让我们忘记了我们本身的这个需求是回到神的身边，去和他建立起这种爱心的关系。那么这样的话呢，就会使我们继续的被束缚在这个物质世界更多的生事。
Certainly, because we are yet in a material body, we have material necessities.
当然了，我们现在是在这个物质的躯体里面，所以说呢，我们是有物质的需求的。
But as far as possible, we should satisfy those necessities within the major necessity of serving Krishna.
但是呢，我们应该尽量的在满足这些物质的需求，怎么说，就我们尽量的要把这些物质的需求和满足 Krishna 的这个需求相连接在一起。
Like, yes, we need to eat.、We have material bodies that need to have food in order to function. Lastly, we eat, but we eat Krishna prasadam.
比如说呢，因为我们有这个物质的躯体，所以我们就必须得吃东西，否则的话我们这躯体就干不了活了。那么我们就吃，可是我们吃什么呢？我们吃供奉给 Krishna 的 prasadam。
We need to talk. So yes, we talk about Krishna as far as possible.
比如说我们得讲话，那我们讲什么呢？我们就尽可能多的讲述关于 Krishna 的话题。
Yes, we need to associate with other human beings. So we try to associate with devotees as far as possible.
那我们也必须得和其他的人有联谊、有交往。那我们就尽量多的、尽可能的和奉献者交流。
We need to study books to understand things about life. Let's read Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, to understand the real purpose of life.
那我们也需要阅读书籍，从而能够了解这个生命的就是了解关于生命的各种各样的问题。那么我们就阅读圣典《薄伽瓦坛》和《薄伽梵歌》这些书籍，从而能够真正的了解生命的目的和意义何在。
We need to sleep, yes, but you should not sleep too much and not sleep too little either.
那我们也需要睡觉，所以呢，我们就睡。可是呢，我们不要睡太多，但是与此同时，我们也不要睡太少。
We may need some sexual life, so use sexual life to produce children that we train in Krishna consciousness.
那我们可能也需要过一些性生活，那我们就去过性生活。可是我们要把它作为就是这个孕育具有 Krishna 知觉的孩子的这样的想法去过这个生活。
So our material needs can be satisfied within our main activity of satisfying Krishna.
所以说呢，我们最主要的活动在满足 Krishna 的这个需求的这个同时呢，也就可以包含了去满足我们自己的需求。
And this is the beauty of Krishna consciousness. It's not that we don't tell our devotees to live in the mountains or in the caves or isolate themselves or not live in society.We don't have a family, just be celibate. We don't do it. We tell our devotees to be very active in society, but do all those activities in connection with the major activity of serving Krishna.
所以呢，这就是 Krishna 知觉的非常美妙的地方。我们并没有说是要让我们的奉献者到深山里面、到洞穴里面，或者是到这个没有人的这个地方去进行休息，斩断了他的物质的活动，斩断了和家人的关系，并不是这样的。那我们告诉这个奉献者们呢，是要非常的活跃，要非常的积极的去从事活动，但是呢，是要在这个 Krishna 知觉中和 Krishna 相连接的这些状态下去从事这些所有的活动。
So we have always to have on the forefront, always in the forefront, the very clear understanding what is our greatest necessity, and that's what we should endeavor for. Any other necessities will naturally be satisfied within that major necessity of serving Krishna.
那所以对于我们来说呢，我们就应该总是非常的清楚什么是我们最高的需求。而我们做的所有的事情呢，都是应该去满足这个最高的需求的，也就是和 Krishna 相连接的这个需求。那当我们这么去做的时候呢，就使得我们其他的所有的这些需求全都被涵盖其中了，都能够得到满足。
So we say, how can I satisfy my family members? They are not devotees, they're not interested, you know? Yeah, you can satisfy them. You can still satisfy their spiritual needs by giving them prasadam.By somehow let them hear bhajan, kirtan or bhajan, or simply by praying for them, you can help them. Even though we are living in their association, we are most of the time they just have material needs to satisfy. Still, we can help them to develop this spiritual, satisfy their spiritual needs.
那有的时候我们可能就会说，那我的家人也都不是奉献者，他们对于这些活动也都没有任何的兴趣，那我到底怎么才能够满足他们的愿望呢？那其实我们是可以这个满足他们的，虽然说他们大部分的这种兴趣呢，都是在进行物质的这个活动，满足他们物质上的这个意志的这个心愿，但实际上我们可以通过请他们吃 prasadam。然后就是让他们听到 kirtan 听到 bhajan 这样的方式呢，能够也使他们得到一些满足，能够满足他们的这些需求。
Yes, spiritual needs, yeah.
满足他们的这个灵性的需求。
Okay, we stop here. If there are any questions or comments.
那我们的讲课，今天的正课呢，就先停在这儿，看看大家有没有任何的问题和评述。我看一眼啊。那个群
，question，
呀，哎，阿萨里玛姐有问题吗？我找不着这个群的
，question。
Oh, OK， 看到了。他说，the first question is from Radha Ananda Madaji， Hare Krishna， 深深的顶拜敬仰的阿叔。如果果蔬采购的多了，放置时间久了就不适合再做成包个，扔了又造成浪费，这样不新鲜的果蔬如何处理才是恰当的呢？感谢翻译妈的姐，谢谢您。Hare Krishna, Ashu, please accept my very very humble obeisances to you. The question is that for the fruit and the vegetable, if they have been placed there for longer time, they are not be suitable because they are not fresh enough to be used as boga. However, I feel it's quite wasteful to throw them away. So what do we do to treat those not so fresh fruit and vegetables?
I try to preserve them in a place where they can stay better a long time.
那最好呢还是就是把它们给放置在能够让它们保鲜更久一点的这种状态下，就更好的就想办法让它们更好的保鲜。
And try to use them before they deteriorate, either use for yourself or to give to others, to distribute to others. In this way, you don't waste.
还有呢，就是在把它们放置在不新鲜之前呢，要尽量的快点把它们给用掉。如果是自己用不了呢，就把它送给别人用，这样就不会浪费了。
Next question.
Next question from Rajendra Prabhu. 顶拜阿叔的哲理讲课顶拜 Dana Kelly 的翻译，顶拜阿萨蒂理智的主持，母亲节快乐。问题第一个问题是Brahma 根据业报诞生成为了 Brahma 需要什么资格？据说有时至尊人格守神自己也会成为 Brahma， 这个不是业报吧？据说我们从灵性世界掉下来，在物质世界第一次投胎就是 Brahma， 属实吗？有时伟大的虔诚的 Karma 和 Gyanis 会成为 Brahma 吗？有时也会有奉献者成为 Brahma 吗？来做这项服务。 OK, well, this is a clusters of questions. How about all of them are related the same? So I will read the whole thing and you can answer together. Firstly, he's saying about please accept my very humble obeisances to your philosophical lecture and to Dana Kelly's translator and the translation and also to Satimaji's very sober hosting. And happy Mother's Day.The first question is that...
Today's Mother's Day.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so happy. Oh, all mothers, have a happy day.
阿叔说今天他真开心，因为今天是母亲节，所以呢，祝所有的妈妈们母亲节快乐。So the 母亲节快乐 ,Happy Mother's Day and Hare Krishna.那第一个问题是Lord Brahma is born by his karma, but what is the qualification for the personality of Brahma to possess in order for him to become the Brahma? Because it is said that sometimes the supreme the supreme Godhead himself will also take the position of Brahma.That shouldn't be because of his karma, right? And also, when we fall down from the spiritual world, the very first birth we were in the spiritual world is Brahma. Is this true? And also, sometimes for those very pious garmis and gyanis, they also take the position of Brahma.And sometimes the devotees will also take the position of Lord Brahma. Well, if the position to be taken by the devotee means that he is trying to do the service as a position of Lord Brahma, right?
Okay, right, for that one. Right, so if he's a devotee taking that position in the order of the Lord, he does that as a devotional service to the Lord, yes.
对，就如首先这最后一部分啊，就是如果是奉献者，他成为了主 Brahma， 那他其实就是在这个 Brahma 的这个位置上来为主做这个服务。
And yes, pious living entities who accumulate many many pious activities after many lifetimes, or gyanis can also be promoted to that position of Lord Brahma.
那么还有呢，就是这个虔诚的生物体，或者是寺院家 Gyanis， 他们如果要是积攒了很多很多很多很多生世的这个虔诚的业报活动之后呢，他也有可能得到主 Brahma 的这个位置。
And then they have opportunity to become perfect and go back to the spiritual world.
因为这样呢，他们就有了一个变得完美的机会，然后他们就可以回到灵性世界去了。
If there are no qualified living entities to take on that position of Brahma, then the Lord may take it.
但是如果要是没有有资格的生物体能够接管主 Brahma 的这个职位的话，那至尊主本人就得亲自上阵。
It's very rare, but he may take that form if there is necessity.
啊哈，那这个其实这种情况是很少有发生的，但是如果要是必须的话呢，那他就得这么的干。
But he has no material body. It's not that the Lord takes on a material body. He appears like Brahma, the same shape, but his form is spiritual.
但是呢，就是如果以主投生的这个主 Brahma， 他虽然展现成是像主 Brahma 的这个样子，但他其实他是灵性的，
它并没有一个物质的躯体。
And individual souls, when they fall from the spiritual world, they are not yet degraded, so they take the form of Lord Brahma first. And if they perform a nice service, they can go back from that form. They don't need to degrade themselves. But if they become puffed up by material energy because they think they are great, they are the best of all because they are also creating and everything, then they can degrade themselves and take on so many different material forms.
那么作为这个刚刚下来的这个生物体，它如果是还没有堕落之前呢，那它是可以阿叔 he has to or
degrade himself, not fall. Of course, it comes if he falls in the material form. If it takes birth in a form of Brahman, he's already fallen from the spiritual world.
Yeah.
But he's not so degraded because he's the beginning. He just came from the material, the spiritual world. He has not degraded himself yet.
嗯哼，嗯哼，就是从上面刚刚下来的这个个体灵魂。因为呢他还没有堕落，所以说呢他就能够站到这个主 Brahma 的这个位置上来做这个活动。
It's not Dolo means fallen. It's already fallen. It comes from the spiritual is for degraded.
Yeah, I'm using the word.
You can be more degraded. Like we are all fallen, but we can be more degraded, you know, like human beings.
Yeah, so that's why I'm using
another word.
Yeah, yeah, I'm trying
okay.
to use two words. One is 掉下来, which means about dropped. The other one is
堕落,
degraded. This degrade, I'm trying to use those two words. Okay, 那就是
okay.
就这里面是这样的啊，就是对不起啊，就是这里面有两个词儿要把它给说清楚一下。就是首先呢，就是这个生物体它从灵性世界掉下来了，它得掉下来，所以它就已经不是在这个灵性世界了。那么但是他在掉下来这个状态下他还没有堕落，所以呢他就可以成为这个主 Brahma 所处在的这个位置。但是如果他要是觉得自己是老大，自己特别的了不起，他如果是这个特别的骄傲的话，那他就没有办法在这个位置上待着。
Okay, next question.
The next question, 主 Brahma 的躯体有粗糙的躯体吗？还是只有精微躯体的构成？Lord Brahma's body, is that a gross body or is only a subtle body?
It's subtle body, yeah. It's more subtle body. Yeah. The demigods, higher demigods, they have subtle bodies, yeah.
那么这个主 Brahma 呢，它更多的是这个轻微的、精微的躯体。其实这个半身人们他们的这个躯体都是更多的是以精微躯体构成的。那么下面这个问题呢是还是说这是吧，主 Brahma 晚上睡觉的时候有局部的毁灭，运旦之阳水上涨，那么莲花呢就被就是淹没了莲花镜的大部分，会淹没运旦之阳 Vishnu 吗？When Lord Brahma fell into sleep, there were partial destructions. But then the water from the Gobodaksha ocean will raise up and also will emerge the most part of the stem of the lotus. But will that 淹没之会淹没运旦之阳 Vishnu, but this ocean will make Mahavishnu got drowned.
Oh,
会淹没运旦之阳 Vishnu, 不是 Mahavishnu, 就是说 will that ocean will drown the Gobodaksha Vishnu?
No, the Lord is always transcendental. The water is coming from his body.
Okay, 首先呢就是这个莲花呢是来自于主的躯体的，而且呢主他永远都是超然的，所以呢这个水它不会把主自己给淹了。
No, it cannot be destroyed by his own creation.
所以而且呢，主他是不可能是被他自己的创造所毁坏的。
It's a partial destruction. Not even Lord Brahma is destroyed because he's asleep during his sleep.
而且
partial destruction.
而且呢，就这个局部的毁灭，就连主 Brahma 自己本身也没有被毁掉，因为他只不过是睡着了。
When is the complete destruction? Then all the different forms of Garbha, Akshirodakshay Vishnu, Garbhodakshay Vishnu, they all enter into a telescopic way. They all enter back into the form of Vishnu where they come from.
就是 you mean when the Lord Brahma was
in the final destruction, destruction, all the different forms of Garbhodakshay Vishnu.And Kshirodakshay Vishnu, they all go back into the body of Mahavishnu where they came from.
那其实就是在最后的这个毁灭的时候呢，这个孕蛋之羊还有牛奶之羊 Vishnu 呢，他们全部都会回到 Mahavishnu 的体内，就是回到他们来的那个地方。
And all the living entities, all the individual souls with karma, they also go inside the body of Mahavishnu and wait for the next creation.
而且所有的这些有业报在身的这些生物体呢，也都全部会进入到 Mahavishnu 的体内，然后等待着下一次的创造。
Next question.
Vedihi Mataji, 感恩阿叔，请问我听说生物从灵性世界下来的第一个躯体是 Brahma， 这是否意味着，生物体在物质世界是一个逐渐堕落的过程呢？然后又逐渐上升的过程，能这么理解吗？谢谢。Ashu, thank you. My question is that I've heard that when the living entity come down from the spiritual world, the very first body they take is Brahma. Is that means that the living entity, when they're in the material world, they actually going through a kind of a process to going down, and also they are gradually ascending. So basically, this is a kind of processing of down and up.Can I understand in that way?
Yes. If you reject to follow the guidance of the Lord through the scriptures and the saintly devotees, then you go down. If you follow, you go up.
对，是的，就是如果你要是这个拒绝了主以及他的纯粹的奉献者所以给我们展示的这个训令，不按他们这条路走的话呢，那我们就会往下走。但如果我们要是追随他们的这个训令去行事的话呢，那我们就会往上行。
So just try to go up from now on.
那所以呢，我们就应该从现在开始努力的向上行。
Not go down, huh?
啊，不要往下走了。
Next.
The next question from Rajendra Prabhu: 如何在 Krishna 知觉中处理世俗的人际关系？应付世俗人际关系的动机和目的应该是什么呢？谢谢您，跪谢您。How to deal with the mundane relationship in the society with the mentality of Krishna consciousness? And also, what is our purpose and motivation to handling this mundane relationship? Thank you very much.
Well, we don't get so involved in their mundane talks and mundane activities. We don't get involved so much on that. And if you do it, we just do very superficial. The main interest in entering those relationships is that we create friends and then gradually.We may be able to introduce something about Krishna consciousness.
那首先呢，我们就不要让自己过多的卷入这些世俗的人际关系中，我们只是蜻蜓点水就好了。那么，当我们在进入到这些关系里面的时候呢，我们其实也就是为了跟他们交朋友，然后希望有机会呢，有一天把 Krishna 知觉的这些知识介绍给他们。
So we don't develop a very intimate, we don't need to develop a very profound intimate relationship with a person who has absolutely no interest in spiritual topics.
所以说我们对于那些对于灵性的话题完全没有兴趣的人是没有必要和他们建立非常深厚的亲密的情感的友谊之情的。
But sometimes because of necessity being in a family and things like that, we superficially, we seem to have a relationship, but just superficial. We are polite, we are nice with them, and just to, so they, somehow or other, they may accept us as some, you know, some kind of authority, as somebody who knows something, and they may eventually ask questions and be a little interested, you know. Otherwise, we don't have interest in developing profound very deep loving relationships with them.
但是如果我们要是和家人呢和朋友在一起的时候呢，我们也就可以和他们进行这个表面的蜻蜓点水的这样的这种情感上的交流，然后从而呢和他们能够建立起这种关系，然后慢慢的呢他们就会觉得好像你是某些方面的这种权威，然后从而呢愿意把这个有些问题啊需要和你来进行交流和进行探讨，然后这样的话呢就有这种机会去把 Krishna 知觉的这个信息传递给他们，否则的话呢就不需要有太多的深度的交往。
Yeah, we remain polite, we remain kind with them,
okay.
We are nice, you know, because they are individual souls, but we don't get involved into a very deep relationship because nothing can benefit us.
而且还有呢，就是因为他们也都是个体的灵魂，所以呢，我们要对他们友善，然后呢，我们要对他们有礼貌。但是呢，如果他们要是对于这个灵性的话题没有任何的这个兴趣的话呢，我们也不需要太过多的深入的和他们交往，因为这对我们没有任何的益处。
Intimate relationships is with equal mind people, so devotees. We are interested in devotional service, so we develop intimate relationships with devotees.
那么其实是和这个有相同的志向的人能够有这个很好的，就能够培养出很好的亲密的关系，那也就意味着是和奉献者之间我们要培养出很亲密的关系。
But we don't need to neglect others. We don't need to be indifferent to others. We can be polite, be kind, and socialize, but just superficial. We don't need to get into intimacy in that type of relationships.
但是呢，我们也不意味着说我们就不理别人了，然后我们对所有人都特别的冷淡，不是这样的。就是我们也可以去很热情的、很阳光的去和别人进行交往、进行交流。但是呢，就不要和他们走得过近，不要培养出那些亲密的关系。
Okay, next question.
The next question from Das Prabhu. 灵性意味着永恒的、充满喜乐的、充满知识的，对吗？纯粹奉献者的躯体是灵性的，那为什么不是永恒的呢？ Spiritual means that is eternal, full of bliss and full of knowledge. Is that right? If that is understanding, but why the pure devotee's body, although it's spiritualized, however, why is not eternal?
Yeah, it's not spiritual, it's spiritualized. It acts like spiritual body. That's why the pure devotees, when they pass away, we don't burn their bodies. We bury them in such a way that they are preserved because these bodies have been used in Krishna's service, so we still worship them, we honor them, but they are made as material energy. Material energy is subjected to changes.
那么这个就是这个灵性，就这个纯粹奉献者，他的这个躯体是由于他是在做奉献服务，所以呢，他的这个躯体是灵性化了的。那就为什么当这个纯粹奉献者他隐寂之后呢，我们就不会烧掉他的躯体，而是把他的躯体按照全身的这个方式呢去把他给这个埋起来，然后呢在他的这个萨玛蒂上继续呢 崇拜他的这具躯体，就是因为他这个躯体是灵性化的。但是为什么这个躯体它会这个不是说所谓永恒的呢？是因为这个躯体它本身呢是由物质的元素构成的，而这个物质元素呢它是要经过各种各样的变化的。
嗯。Okay, but the function, it functions like a spiritual body because it is always engaged in service of the Lord.
嗯，但是呢，就是这个纯粹奉献者，他这个躯体的这个功能就像是一个灵性化的躯体是一样的，因为呢，他总是在用他这具躯体在为主做奉献服务。
Means that body is not their original body.
也就意味着他这具躯体已经不是他的那个最原初的躯体了。
When Krishna comes, Krishna comes in his original form, but when the living entities, associates of the Lord come, they take on forms of made of material energy.
当主 Krishna 他来到这个物质世界的时候呢，他是以他最原本的身形来的，但是呢，他的同游们来到这个物质世界的时候呢，他们所来的所具备的那个躯体是由物质的能量所构成的躯体。
But we don't consider these bodies as material in the sense that they are always used in Krishna service, so they have the characteristics of spiritual bodies. Like again, the example, iron rod is iron, but in contact with fire acquires the qualities of fire, but still is an iron rod.But the qualities, how they act, how it acts like fire.
嗯，然后呢，因为他们的这个物质躯体呢，它毕竟它还是这个由物质构成的，所以说呢，它还是有这个物质的这个属性的。但是呢，就好像是这个铁，就这个铁棍放在了这个火里面一样，它就具备了这个火的这个品质。那么这个纯粹的奉献者呢，由于他们是在从事。灵性的这个活动使得他们的这个躯体呢就具有了灵性化的这个品质特征。
We could say that material energy is the energy of the Lord that can be misused. Spiritual energy always in Krishna service. Material energy is a transformation of that original energy. It can be misused by the living entities. But if it's used properly, it acquires the same qualities as a spiritual energy.
那么就比如说呢，这个主的这个物质能量呢，是可以被这个生物体错用的。那么这个灵性能量呢，它因为始终在用作对 Krishna 的服务，所以说呢。就是这个当把这个能量用作对 Krishna 的服务的时候，它也就能够得到和主 Krishna 相同的那种特征了。
Okay, next question.
The next question is from Shama Saki Madaji. Hare Krishna, 真诚的顶拜阿叔，顶拜翻译，顶拜主持人，顶拜所有的奉献者。我的问题是在宇宙毁灭时，所有的个体生物都被储藏进入了大实体中。等待 Brahma 在创造时，有些个体灵魂呢，自己的物质欲望得到了适合的躯体，享受或受苦。这根据《薄伽梵歌》第二章第十三十节中，躯体死亡时，灵魂会进入另外一个躯体中，一种是进入大实体，等待在创造得到躯体和这节世的灵世界的灵魂死亡时进入另一躯体。这两者有什么区别？请静安大叔帮我解释困惑。This question is from Shama Saki Madaji Harik.I sincerely pay my humble obeisances to you, dear Ashu, to the translator, to the host, and also to all of the devotees. Now, my question is that when the Haribo, 那我的问题就是在这个宇宙when the universe is destructed, all of the living entities.Will go back to the body of Mahavishnu, waiting for the creation again. And those living entities, based on their own material desires, to get the proper body next life when it's created again, either enjoy or suffer.But in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, verse number 13, it is said that when the material body dead, the soul will go to the next body. So there are two things. One is the body will go back to the body of Mahavishnu, waiting for the next creation. But in this verse, it is said that the soul will go to the next body. So what are the differences in these two cases? Thank you very much for your elaborated explanation.
So when we are in this, we are still in this creation. We go, when we die, after some time, we are transferred, transferred to the next body according to our karma, our desires.
那么其中一个呢，就是我们现在依然还是在就是这一次的这个创造的过程中。那么我们在死了以后呢，我们会根据我们的这个欲望，还有根据我们的这个业，其实就是根据我们的这个业报的反应，会进入到下面的一次投生之中，会进入到下一个躯体里。
Because creation is going on, so the material elements necessary for awarding him a particular body according to his karma, his desires, is there.
所以说呢，就是这个，因为这个创造还在继续的这个过程中，所以说呢，就根据他的这个欲望，根据他的这个业报，就还可以让他再得到下一个这个适应的这个躯体进入其中。
But when the material after the annihilation or after the creation, when there is annihilation, all the material elements go back to the body of Mahavishnu. So the soul goes back to the body of Mahavishnu, has no opportunity to have a gross material body yet. As a subtle body is there, but no gross body waiting for the next creation when the elements are there to provide him with a body.
但是呢，当整个的这个宇宙毁灭了以后呢，也就意味着所有的这些物质元素全部都回到了 Mahavishnu 的体内，也就意味着在没有任何的这个物质的元素可以造成新的躯体来给这个死去的这个灵魂了。那么就是这个死去的这个灵魂呢，它就只具有这个就它进入 Mahavishnu 的这个体内的时候，它是以这个精微躯体来进去的，但他不可能有这个能够支撑他的这个物质元素来给他提供新的物质的躯体。
So and that inside the body of Mahavishnu is in deep sleep. It's not aware of anything until the next creation is awakened and the desires are there and the material energies are already manifested, so they can provide him with a particular body that he needs.
所以说呢，当这个物质就是物质的这个精微躯体呢进入到 Mahavishnu 的这个体内的时候呢，它是处在一个沉睡的状态。这会儿在 Mahavishnu 的体内的时候就没有任何的活动，直到在下一次在创造的时候呢，一切的这些物质元素又都被创造了出来，然后呢又可以创造新的这个躯体。那么当这个睡着了的这些生物体他们醒过来以后呢，因为他们之前的这些欲望和业报也都还在，所以呢就根据他之前的这个欲望和业报呢，就会重新进入到他所相应的这个躯体里面，因为现在所有的这些元素也都恢复了，都可以去创造新的躯体了。
I hope it was clear enough.
那我希望我的这个回答是解决了您的这个困惑。The next question from Iswari Mataji. 顶巴阿叔，关于居士过夫妻生活是为了孕育 Krishna 知觉的孩子，现在一家基本都要一胎，其余的奉献者有的都并不是老年人，有的只有一方面是奉献者。那么在这件事情上，奉献者应该用什么样的知觉状态和心理活动去过夫妻生活呢？去维持物质世界婚姻的和谐，虽然知道是短暂的，需要有气绝的心态，但这件事情按照原则也是很让人尴尬的，不知如何对待，才能让自己在灵性和物质之间达到平衡，才不至于让自己常常陷入自责和不安中。感恩阿叔。Okay, Ashu, please accept my very humble obeisances. My question is about the Grihastha life style. For the sex life among the Grihastha couples, you said that the Grihastha life, sex life is for concept the children with the Krishna consciousness. However, right now, most of the family still only have one child, and not necessary for all the initiated the devotees are having the spouse as a devotee. So in that case, how to balance this? It's quite embarrassed to maintain this principle, because we do need to maintain a kind of a harmony situation in the material world through the marriage life. Although we know that the marriage life, the family life, is a kind of a temporary term, it is a temporary period during the whole time, and we do need to have the mentality of the renouncement. But sometimes it's not easy to exactly to follow the principle. So I'm not exactly sure how to do it in the right way, how to keep the balance in between the spiritual life and the material life. And how what to do will make me to be released that kind of self-criticism and anxiety.
Well, one thing certainly works and works miracles is to pray to the Lord. You know, earnestly pray to the Lord for help, so you will not be allured to this. Improper activities.
那首先有一件事情啊，就是它是很玄妙的，而且呢，它也是一定奏效的，那就是满怀着赤诚的一种炽热的心态去向主祈祷，然后呢，让自己不要被这种状态所诱惑。
And the best thing we should do for devotees want to.To be initiated, but they still have this problem. Usually we tell them to wait. You can practice everything as much as you can, but because you cannot follow this principle, which is one of the four regulative principles, then it's better to not rush to be initiated. Can already have a spiritual master. Be connected with the spiritual master. Try to do one's best and follow the instruction. But until this... principle is not followed completely, is better don't, should not be initiated. Should wait until, by the mercy of Krishna, you know, Krishna makes the arrangement that we don't need to be involved in this type of activity, illicit activity.
还有呢，就是通常我们是这样建议一位在修习的想要得到启迪的这位奉献者。就如果要是这位奉献者呢还依然是在这种这个婚姻的这种生活中，但是呢他又没有办法很好的去履行四项基本原则之一的，就是这个关于过性生活的这个就是关于过合法的性生活的这个原则的这样的奉献者呢，那就建议他和灵性导师保持联系，然后呢去尽量的进行各方面的这个修习。然后呢向主祈祷能够让自己早日的走脱这样的状态，但是呢先不要接受启迪。
Okay, next question.
The next question from Jampavati Mother 姐，请妈说 Krishna 是物质宇宙的创造维系和毁灭者，但是 Krishna 又是不属于这个宇宙中的一部分，原因是物质宇宙是他的非人格展示吗？Also, the question is that Lord Krishna is the creator, maintainer, and the destructor of this material universe. However, Lord Krishna, he is not a part of the universe. Beyond that, is that because the material universe is a manifestation of his impersonal form?
Yes, material energy is coming from his spiritual energy. Spiritual energy is the Brahman, the majority of Brahman. This is a spiritual energy. So from the spiritual, that spiritual energy transforms into material energy in order to accommodate the necessity of the conditioned souls.
是的，就是主他的这个灵性的能量呢是 Brahma Jyoti， 那么这个灵性的能量呢又转化成了物质的能量，然后从而用，然后这个物质能量呢才能够去配合在这个物质世界的这些物质的灵魂的需求。
嗯 ，OK， that's it.、
So is that the the material universe is the Lord's non-personal manifestation. So means the Lord is not part of the universe, right?
No, it's not. The material creation is also a pastime of the Lord. It's a personal manifestation of the Lord. The energies are coming from the Lord, from the person.
Yeah. Yeah. 所以说就是说这个问题其实是这样的，就是这个主的宇宙展示它也是主的一个逍遥时光。这其实是人格的，并不是说是非人格的。因为这个他主他用的他这个物质能量在做这件事情，但这物质能量也是从主那来的。
Mm.
Yeah, so that's everything.
The impersonal the energies or the impersonal thing is all coming from the person.
对，因为就是这个主他的这个能量，它都是来自于这个人的。
Okay, thank you very much for your questions.
非常感谢大家的问题。
Thank you everybody for listening.
非常感谢大家的聆听。
A special thank you to Danekele and Sati Mataji for giving us this opportunity to be together.
然后也谢谢 Sati Mataji， 还有谢谢 Danekele 能够给我们这样一个机会，让我们大家能够聚集在这里，有这个联谊。
Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Nitai Gaura Premanande, Hari, Hari, Hari Bo.
Hari, Hari, Hari Bo, Ashu ki jai. 外观大之音服务源于聆听，各位尊敬的奉献者，那我们今天的早课呢就到此结束了。非常感恩 Krishna Baladev Prabhu 亲爱的阿叔为我们的精彩讲述以及为问题的耐心的解答。感恩萨利玛吉为我们安排这么好的平台，那也非常谢谢所有的奉献者的聆听。祝大家在 Krishna 知觉之中度过一个非常美妙的周日，度过一个非常美妙的母亲节。Hare Krishna。